out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 449, the 449th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Have not, as of yet, found a title that would be suitable for the show. Hopefully, we'll come up with one before the end of this. today is actually, we've found the tracks. We're not entirely back up on them yet, but I'm closer to becoming back on track. So it's little steps, baby steps. So, in case you are unaware of what exactly it is I'm talking about, my production schedule's been kind of all over the place, out of whack, like you would not believe. So we're whacking it back into place. We're going to see exactly what we can do, taking things little bit by little bit, one step at a time around here. So this has been a relatively interesting week, mainly because I am busier than something really busy in work. it's usually really interesting working at an educational institution. Sometimes, you have the lulls, you have the highs and the lows of activity, but there's no busier time of the year than right before the students all come back. So that's currently what we're doing right now, and it's kind of insane. So there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of new things that we're trying out. We're moving the entire labs over to Windows 7, so that should be some kind of interesting. I'll let you know how exactly that all goes over by the time this all wraps up. But I have a good feeling. I think we're going to be all right. No worries, Still got, I think, like 6 or 7 days left, so I'm better than I have been previously on this, so we'll see exactly what happens. But that's not what you came to hear about today. You came to hear about all about the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news, so it's sort of fits in there, but not entirely well. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and edumacational podcasting, and everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcasting site. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like Facebook for podcasts. You can head on over there. You can check out everybody different show, build your own fun little playlists. It's all kinds of interesting, so we're all over there, but you can always find this over at www.caffeination.com, caffeination.com, being the Caffeination Podcast. It just figured to be a good place to put all our stuff. And if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else you'd like to send my general direction, please feel free to fire it off to caffeination@gmail.com. All right, we got a great show lined up for you today. I am so caffeinated, it hurts, and you're probably going to have to slow this podcast down like a Justin Bieber song just to understand everything we're going to be talking about. But before we get too much further, I would like to mention this sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. You have to meet your important business colleagues from the West Coast and the East Coast, even beyond. It doesn't matter where they are. All it needs is that you need to get your information from point A to point B. It doesn't matter where anybody is. We live in a global society. That's why I'm going to suggest that you use GoToMeetings to hold your meetings online. GoToMeeting, which is brought to you by Citrix, is one of the easiest online meeting services out there. It allows you to set up your meetings in advance, or you can even start one on the fly. There's no strange or crazy restrictions that get heaped upon you. Everyone logs into GoToMeeting.com, and now they can see your computer desktop on their computer screens. It allows you to set up demos, product demonstrations, any kind of thing that you might want to make sure that the environment doesn't change, so that all your files are right where they are. I mean, I don't know how many PowerPoint presentations I've seen where somebody had it working perfectly on their machine. They didn't quite package it correctly for travel, and by the time they get all the way up and over to where they gotta go, we have a broken PowerPoint presentation. It doesn't happen because you are on your own computer. With GoToMeeting, you can host unlimited meetings for one low flat rate. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's an unlimited month of online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, please visit www.goToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.goToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. All right, I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff that we keep trying to do around these parts. And before we get too much further, I did want to remind you that these are the waning days of the Summer of Podcast 2 contest over at podcastmadness.com. So you can head on over there and enter in the final code for this little venture is Caffeination. That's CaffeinationIon.com. I'm not caffeinationstock.com. Just enter caffeination. Not the .com. Basically, it's my Twitter handle. That's our last code here. We have a ton of great prizes being given out. The prize drawing has been moved up rather to September 6th. The final day to enter prizes in is September 1st. Enter codes in to get in on this is September 1st. So make sure you get back into the old archives of the Caffeination and all the other podcasts that are responsible for this, and head on over there and check out all the fun stuff that we have over there. And it allows you to, you know, get a leg up with some cool and fun tech for the end and the waning days of summer. So, all right, we have a great bunch of stuff here today on the Caffeination podcast. We're going to dive right on in because I don't know how much time I have left to actually record. Baby's sort of sleeping right now, so we'll see exactly how long that lasts. Facebook desperately trying to remain relevant, it takes on geolocation. Now, if you are unaware of exactly what the spectrum of social media sites and how the rise and the fall of things goes, something gets kind of interesting, then it gets insanely popular, and then all of a sudden it's so passe that it hurts to even talk about it. Well, Facebook is rapidly approaching the "oh my god, you're still on there" status with the tweens and teens and all that, because mainly they have advertising, their parents are on there, and the funny thing is, this story is from my mom, who hates Facebook, so there's always that. You know, I can be on there and I'm perfectly safe, except my sister will probably rat me out. But you know what, that's all well and good. But basically, Facebook's trying to get in on the fun that is geolocation. Geolocation basically is like Foursquare and Gowalla. Wherever you go, there you are. You whip out your phone, you check in. It allows you to see the other people that are there. It creates a alternate community. It allows you to hook up with other friends that are out there. I was using Brightkite for a while before I had a smartphone. Now I switched over to Foursquare, and you know what? Foursquare is just letting me see exactly how lame my life really is. I shouldn't be getting upset because somebody's been to the pizza shop more often than I have. I shouldn't be getting upset that somebody's been to a McDonald's or a Rita's Water Ice or anything else like that. I should be getting upset if somebody's been to my office more than I have, because that's a bad thing. And you get upset about certain things. It adds a kind of a game element to going out and traveling. I don't do much traveling, got a family, and it's pretty boring to be me most days. But all that aside, Foursquare has around 2 million users. So it's kind of interesting to see all the venues pop up. And then you can claim venues. There's different people. It allows you to track who's been there and fun stuff like that. And it's an interesting subset of the people that seem to be interested in this. Well, Facebook's now taking on that with Facebook Places. Facebook has over 500 million users. I'm not entirely sure how many of them are active, and I don't exactly know how you can get... Facebook Places, but here's the fun thing about it. Facebook has a horrible privacy record. Just from a public relations standpoint, if you ask somebody if you feel safe sharing information on Facebook, most people will say no. So do I want to tell Facebook where I am at all points in time and trust that they're not going to share it with their, third parties, people that I don't really talk to anymore, but I had to friend anyway, just all of that kind of fun stuff? No, I don't. I don't trust Facebook for anything. So I would probably use it very limited fashion. I might use it if I'm checking in at conferences and things like that to allow other people to know that I'm there. But, the amount of times that I go to conferences, usually once, twice a year tops. By the way, I'm going to be at PodCamp Philly, Temple University, October 2nd and 3rd. If you happen to be in the Philadelphia area, please stop by. It's going to be all kinds of awesome. And you know what? I might check in on Facebook there, but I'm definitely going to be checking in on Foursquare and a whole bunch of other stuff just to let people know that my face is in the place. But it's interesting, to say the least. But I'm going to hold back before I say that this is going to reinvigorate Facebook. I'm fairly certain there's something else out there that tweens and teens are going to flock to, like the next New Kids on the Block, the next whatever, the hot teen band of the day happens to be. It's all about, the here and the now, and as soon as people who are older than them get all up in there, then it just doesn't seem that cool anymore. So that's where we are and here we're going. So moving right along, the next little story that we got for you here is Google and Verizon. Will a parallel non-internet help? Here's the thing. Google and Verizon recently released a joint statement on net neutrality where they said net neutrality is all well and good, but they wanted to create a separate set of rules or separate allowances available for wireless spectrum. Now, wireless spectrum as it is right now is very, very limited, and they're trying to say that there's applications out there that are using more bandwidth than is good for the network, so that people should be able to throttle them. There should be, you know, carrier privileges to do these kind of things. My response is I think that net neutrality should stay in effect. I think that there should not be separate and tiered systems for depending on how you're transmitting the data. You're still tying into the same overall network. And that would be like saying if somebody's using a dial-up that they couldn't try and use an application just because it uses a decent amount of bandwidth. It's going to be so slow that it's not going to be useful. So either you need to build your network up or you need to build fail-safes in there to allow it to kind of fail out gracefully. There's so many different options that are available, and I really am hesitant to allow the free market to take over when it comes to net neutrality, because the free market really isn't so free anymore. There's a lot of big business and lobbyists that are out there, and it's pretty bad to think that you would think that, okay, well, you know, Comcast has a video service and Fios has a video service, and I have a Verizon cell phone. Does that mean that Comcast's video service is not going to be available on my Verizon cell phone because they're a competitor to Verizon and Fios is a Verizon product, despite the fact that Philadelphia is almost owned entirely by Comcast because they have a giant tower in the center of the city, and that you can't even get Fios 90% of the city because of the Comcast lobby in the city? No, that's not fair for Wired as it is, but you know, the Common Carrier Act allowed a lot of different finagling to happen with that, and we are eventually getting Fios, but should that extend to a wireless spectrum? Should, you know, the cross spectrum ventures that some of these people have actually limit the access that we have to content? No, it shouldn't. It should be open, and it's really disgusting to think that Google is where it is and that they're doing what they're doing. So who knows what's going to happen? You know, apparently 100 people showed up to protest. Let's just hope there's a couple more that join in. I unfortunately can't fly out to sunny West Coast just to protest Google. I'm going to do my best to do what I can with the voice that I have, and that's this podcast. So spread it around. Let's see what we can do on this one. Next little thing we got up for you here. Immortal trees are apparently losing their potency. I don't know if you know this, but the largest organic life form on the planet is actually a grove of aspen trees in the Pacific Northwest. It's called the quaking aspen. And while, yes, they do flower, and yes, they can seed as traditional trees and plants do, their preferred method of procreation is actually to send out suckers or roots under the soil and then grow another tree at the end of the specially designed root, which is kind of crazy when you really think about it. So basically, these trees clone themselves. They are genetically identical. There are hundreds of miles of these quaking aspen trees, and one of the things I found looking at Wikipedia, the source of all that is right and true, is that you can actually tell the clones when you're looking at a hillside in the fall, because all the clones will actually turn color at the same point in time, and they all turn the same color. So you can have one entire hillside bathed in a brilliant yellow, and then there's one little tiny little outcropping that's bathed in a little bit of red, or it hasn't quite turned yet and they're still green. And that's where you can tell those trees are genetically different. They're not hooked into the same root system. Yeah, by the way, as they clone, they share the same root system. Well, here's the funny thing about the immortal trees, so-called. Apparently, they're losing their potency. They're losing their ability to actually create genetically different trees because they're losing their ability to create pollen. This is pretty interesting. It's a slow and steady loss of fertility with age. So if you are interested in that kind of tree fertility, or you just want to see some pretty pictures of awesome trees, please head on over to wired.com and check that one out. All right, for all of you people who don't seem to get the idea here, there is no dislike button on Facebook. There is no click this and you can see the three secrets that make this person look funny, or oh my god, look at this person's baby. If you just click this, you'll see that baby. These are all scams. You need to use your internet brain with this one. It's kind of like you're not going to send your social security number to Mr. Ubuntu from Chad or any other 419 scam out there. You need to use a little bit of common sense. And if you're on Facebook and it looks a little bit fugazi, it looks a little bit off, the graphics don't look quite right on one of the supposed official things, then Don't do it. As of right now, there is no dislike button. The voice of all that is right and true in the land of the face and the book, and Mark Zuckerberg has said that yes, there is an outcry for a dislike button, but they wanted to put a more positive spin on things. And I understand the need for a dislike button, or why people think there is, but we'll see exactly where that goes. I don't really think that there's going to end up being one unless something else happens. But, you know, Facebook keeps trying to do things, and they keep changing the privacy policy, and they keep changing the way that the site's organized, and they keep sharing more and more of your information with their advertisers, and they are a profitable venture at this point in time. But, you know, you got to say, all right, what's the end game here? Where are they making money? How is this going to all work out in the end? So... All right, next little thing for you. One of the funny little questions they ask is, I have a lot of different things that are interesting. I personally thought net neutrality and Facebook Places is a bit intriguing. I think one of the stories that we got coming up later is awesome because it's just insane. It's going to blow your mind, I swear. But it's kind of hard to make a set of filing cabinets insanely crazy awesome. Well, not if you head on over to nerdapproved.com. They have a set of filing cabinets that are designed and painted in the style of Mario Brothers 2, which is actually not a real Mario Brothers game if you go over to Japan. It's actually a completely different game, and Mario Brothers 2 is completely different. There's no throwing radishes. There's nothing like that. The game was changed from its very root by the people who were in charge over at Nintendo because they thought that the game would be too difficult for American audiences, which is actually kind of funny because, you know, it probably would have been. But still, this set of filing cabinets does pay homage to that, and it's kind of awesome. And it's from Sprite Stitch, so you know it's a kind of a homemade little situation going on there. This is the kind of thing I would love to have down here in the office. I keep trying to convince the wife that we should turn our bathroom in the basement into a Mario-themed basement because there's a pipe that's visible in the one side. I'm like, come on, let me paint it green. We can have a piranha plant coming out right above the toilet. I don't think that I'm actually getting through on that one. But hey, you know what? I still think it's pretty cool. And you know what? If all you do with your life is you deliver soda, not only are you bringing happiness to hundreds of people out there, but you also have the opportunity for some really awesome art. I don't know if this is a store display or if this is just how one of the people stacked it up, but over at Tumblr, there's an awesome picture of a giant Mario made out of what appears to be something like 25 rows of soda cases. These are all Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, diet caffeine free Pepsi, and just a whole bunch of different stuff. There's Mario, there's stairs going up, and then there's a question block. It is unbelievable, and you really have to head on over there to check it out. It's just that cool. All right, the next little thing that we got up for you here, there's a lot of talk about tablets right now, but there's not a lot of talk about this next thing. The Wii is apparently getting a tablet peripheral. Now, I thought this is really cool because the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 are both trying to emulate the Wii's motion capture. So what the Wii is doing is going something completely different. It says, yeah, you know what? We've done motion capture. Not only is it awesome, but we're doing it right. So what we're going to try and do is do something a little bit different. Again, what we're going to do is actually put a tablet out there, similar to a Wacom tablet or a Cintiq, except there's going to be games like Draw Studio and a whole bunch of other stuff where you can actually, I'm betting Scribblenauts is going to come to the fine folks on the Wii. But it's really, really interesting to see this. I mean, the product looks exactly like it's going to be, and it's coming out apparently. It's called the UDraw software, and it's only going to be priced at $30, and it says allows players to connect UDraw game tablet to a Wii controller. The controller actually plugs right in. Then the stylus lets gamers draw pictures and play games. So it's really kind of cool. So they're saying it's only going to be for small kids. I'm saying that there's a huge market out there of people who love to use pen-type devices, and this is really going to probably take off. Moving on to more tablet news, the iPad has been out for a while, and it's going to be kind of interesting soon because there's going to be a raft of Android tablets coming out. I personally can't wait to see what Android looks like on a bigger screen. I can't wait to see exactly what the next version of Android's actually going to have to allow for a fuller and richer experience when it comes to actually enjoying the internet on something. I have yet to get Flash on my own little phone. I have the newest edition of Android. I have the Froyo, which really threw me for a loop because I had never heard of Froyo before the version Froyo, and apparently it's frozen yogurt for the people who don't like to talk too long. I, however, have no problems with talking long, so frozen yogurt was always perfectly fine with me. But Froyo it is, and that's Android 2.2. It allows you to use Flash if you have the correct software. I have not, as of yet, had a chance to try it, but Asus is actually putting out a new line of Android-powered tablets, originally slated for being powered by Windows 7 Tablet Edition, Electric Boogaloo, and now going to be powered by Android. And then the other fork of Google's mobile domination platform is actually the Chrome OS. Now, this was originally slated for netbooks and other lightweight systems, but has been ported over to actually running on tablets. And apparently there's going to be a Chrome OS tablet running on Verizon that's arriving on November 26th. This is a insane, insane idea. Apparently it's going to have a massive 1280 by 720 pixel multi-touch display, 2 gigs of RAM, solid-state hard drive, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, 3G connectivity, a GPS, a webcam, and expandable storage. So far, it sounds a little bit too good to be true, so we're going to see if this actually gets off the ground and what the price point's going to be, but apparently it's actually going to be partially subsidized by Verizon, so that's going to be pretty cool. By the way, if you've heard the strange little noises in the background today, we are back once again with the Renegade Master. Well, the baby has decided to cry halfway through the show, so this is actually the second taping of the back half of the show, so we're trying to see if we can actually soothe the savage baby while we're talking a little bit about tech. So maybe she'll learn some through osmosis, and we're growing a little geek girl. That's all I'm hoping for. It's kind of fun. But all right, next little thing that we got for you here is Homer iPhone Homer. There's a great little graphic that's basically a sticker for the back of your iPhone, if that's how you swirl. It's Homer holding the Apple logo, so it's basically an applique that goes all around the glowing Apple logo, and of course he's chewing on it, but taking a bite out of it. I thought that was awesome. Unfortunately, it's not a licensed Simpson-branded iPhone. For that, you're going to have to look for the droid that everybody is looking for, the first pictures of the R2-D2 Droid 2 phone. This is an official release from Verizon, officially licensed by Lucas, because you know he needs the money. But yeah, this is an R2-D2 version of the phone. It's white, it has exclusive Star Wars content on it, and I gotta tell you, if my phone was... if the contract was up, I would be getting one of these just because I think it's that awesome. And these things are probably going to end up being collector's items, which is weird to think of for a phone. So you already have the phone as an object of desire, and that all started with the iPhone. Now you have a phone as a collector's item because it has a Star Wars theme to it. And then sticking with the Star Wars themes, and hey, you know what? You can even win one of these. These are called Snuggies for Nerds or Space Rugs. Basically, they're Snuggies with deep cowls on them so that you too can be your very own Sith Lord or Jedi Master. They come in black, white, and brown. I personally like the black and the brown. I think the white looks a little bit too much like you're going to the day spa or something like that. But I think it's pretty cool. I would never wear a Snuggie. I just don't know. I like a normal blanket. I don't need extra accoutrement attached to it. So, but hey, you know what? Space rugs look pretty neat. That would be a fun little Halloween costume. You know, or you could just buy a little robe. None of the robes that I've ever seen are deep enough of a cowl for my giant head to hide in the shadows. So I don't know if maybe these are going to have a nice deep cowl so that you can really get, you know, the Emperor Palpatine going, but it just doesn't work when you are situated like I am. So, but hey, I thought it was pretty fun, so I decided to share with the group. And then the last little bit of news we got for you in the GeekCraft session here at the Caffeination Podcast is gadget-shaped silly bands. Now, if you are unaware and you do not have contact with young teens, young adults in your life, silly bands are rubber bands that are in shapes. That's all there is to them. I have not yet been able to find out anything else about them, but literally that is it. They're rubber bands that when you stretch them out, they're rubber bands, and when you allow them to go back to their natural shape. They are like the shape of a dog, a cat, or something else like that. Well, the geeks have gotten in on it, and now there's gadget-shaped ones. There's a 24-pack of silicone-shaped bands that are shaped like iPods, VHS cassettes, digital cameras, and all other kinds of stuff. These are not true silly bands, first of all, because they're not actually Silly Band branded, and second of all, because they're not actually all-encompassing anything. Some of them are double-layered to add extra detail and stuff in there, so they don't really work with the whole Silly Band concept. I mean, apparently the object of Silly Bands is to have a mess of rubber bands around your wrist, and you really can't wear these around your wrist because they don't stretch very well. So I'm not entirely sure how this is going to work out, but I thought it was kind of funny anyway, so I wanted to share with the group. And you know what? For being very geeky, this doesn't seem to really follow the geek credo and actually be on point with it. So, all right, moving right along to the food and caffeinated bits section here at the Caffeination Podcast. All right, now, you know, Mike from over at DailyShotOfCoffee.com finds some really good stuff, and I love reading his articles usually, but these are so off the wall that I'm really jealous that he found them. They're called Joe Pokes. They are coffee toothpicks. They are coffee-infused toothpicks with caffeine. Apparently, they taste dark with a hint of sugar in them, and there was actually a mellow coffee flavor that came out when you chewed them. I've never been one for chewing on toothpicks, but I really need to find out where I can get these because it just looks all kinds of awesome. But it just seems really crazy. I never thought, you know, of all the different coffee-flavored things that are out there, I never thought toothpicks would be on the list of stuff to get coffee-flavored. So if you're interested in what they look like and his entire situation on them, please head on over to DailyShotOfCoffee.com and check out the Joe Pokes article that I got for you. All right, next little thing that we got for you here from over at WeeklyRoast.com, a portable, recyclable French press. Now, for some reason, people are listening to Chris Perillo as he's talking about coffee just because he likes coffee. And I'm all for that. You know, hey, a geek talking about coffee. I mean, who would have ever thought of that idea? But he's talking about, and he does something in this video that I really hate. I hate when people talk about something that has, I guess, deeper meaning. Like, you know, somebody's like, oh, there's hints of this flavor, and they make light of it because they're not entirely sure what it really means, or they don't want to seem too hoity-toity for somebody to say, oh, you know, I think that's pretty ridiculous. And, you know, I've come across this in my work life where it's like somebody says, oh, you know, Web 2.0, and I think they're going to say something interesting about what Web 2.0 is, and they say, you know, whatever that means, and it's just, you know, it elicits a cheap laugh, and at the same point in time, it's disappointing that somebody didn't take the time to actually understand what it is that they're talking about. But he gives you a nice little rundown on this portable, recyclable French press. And he says, basically, the biggest problem with French press is, you know, cleaning them out. I've never actually had a problem cleaning them out. You know, just drop a little bit of water in there, swish it around, pour it down the garbage disposal, you know, when it's already on and on high. But I know other people who've had issues pouring coffee grounds down their garbage disposal. Maybe mine's just constructed differently, but I've been doing it for about 4 years now, never had a problem. But this is an interesting little product. Apparently, it's a tiny little system that fits inside existing disposable cups that allows you to, you know, put your boiling water or put your coffee grounds in there, and then, you know, actually have a tiny little French press. And it's meant to be disposable. You can recycle it. It's all made of plastic. The idea of a French press is that you can kind of reduce your footprint. I mean, you're not using filters. You're not using anything else. You just have the glass canister and the metal screen. I understand maybe the need for a recyclable version of it. I mean, hey, that'd be kind of cool. But technically, the parts are already recyclable. I think a more accurate description of something like this would probably be an unbreakable version, because, you know, I've already broken one carafe in the past 2 years, rather. So I think it's interesting. It's called the X-Press, but I'm not entirely sure. I don't know how I feel about it yet. So it says there's small 3-cup presses or large 8-cup presses. So it's kind of interesting. All right, then over at the Starbucks blog. Apparently, Starbucks was voted the best coffee by Zagat's again. I don't know how I feel about this. it's really kind of sad, but you know, there's an article over there. It's by Cliff Burrows, so it's all kinds of fantastic and fun. But apparently people like charcoal, and there's tons of other like tiny little comments that are under this saying that, yeah, oh my God, I can't believe it. I love Starbucks. I love going by it every day. When I see the logo, I get excited. And you know, maybe it's just on the East Coast where the idea of a Starbucks doesn't seem to really jive with people who actually enjoy coffee, because I don't know anybody who has that kind of feeling for a Starbucks. I know plenty of people who drink it, but I don't know anybody who goes out of their way and says, oh my God, if there's not a Starbucks, I just simply can't function. Or one of my favorite comments was actually, if it's not Starbucks, I don't drink the coffee. Or another person said, I've been all over Europe and Starbucks is the best coffee I've ever had. You really must not have had too much coffee in Europe, because they kind of know how to brew it over there is a general rule. We're the noobs in that regard. But you know, if you really want to hear about all the fun stuff about coffee, head on over to ineedcoffee.com or any of the other links at the Cafe Nation podcast, because there's tons of other great content that's out there that's different from Starbucks. I'm not saying Starbucks isn't an okay option every once in a while, but I think there's so much better coffee out there, even large chain coffee, that I'm kind of disappointed that they got voted that high again. So, all right. Then the last little thing that we got for you here at the Cafe Nation podcast, bubble tea. I hardly knew ye. I've never actually had bubble tea. I know some people who are nuts about bubble tea, but apparently the Yahoo News organization has declared the bubble tea trend over. So, yep, that's right. The fun little tea with the tapioca pearls in it. I love tapioca pudding. I've never thought about drinking anything with tapioca pearls in it. Never actually had the chance to try it. So, you know, hey, maybe I'll still try it. But, you know, I don't want to get addicted to something that's passe, because, you know, I'm so fashionable and everything else. But, yeah, I can't even say that with a straight face. Sometimes when I hear, you know, oh, this is the new black, or this is the, you know, this is the color for the summer, and it's a color I already wear kind of often or something like that, and people are like, oh, wow, you know, you're really in with the fashion. Yeah, you know what? Next year I'm going to be out. I kind of just have to wait for it to come around again on the guitar to actually work for me. So apparently I wasn't in on the bubble tea trend. I'm missing out on the espresso trend, because everybody is apparently so over that now. So who knows what I'll be in on next, but you know, I'm kind of holding out for the the family man who's good to his family and is still a geek on the side kind of trend to come around. So we'll see if that actually works out for me. All right, that about wraps it up here today. We're coming in just around a little bit under usual, but that's perfectly fine. We got a ton of content that we shared with you. Hopefully you found it enjoyable. Remember, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Head on over to techpodcasts.com to find that kind of fun stuff. And if you would, you know, you're listening to some other podcasts that we like. We love the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. I like listening to the Coffee Cup News and a whole bunch of other stuff that's out there. I'm going to Mind of Root Podcast was awesome. Geek Radio Daily is another one of my favorites. There's a whole bunch of podcasts that are out there that I listen to and wander around. So, you know, go out there and share the listening love to that. And, you know, hey, let me know what other podcasts you think I should give it a shot to. All right. Thank you ever so much. Remember, comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail, anything can be sent to caffeination@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.